Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro.
Nick Markakis. It feels like they figured out this roster, and they would have been just fine without him.
Jimmy from LinkedIn. God.
This is so frustrating.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgating home 2020. What you got working? If throughout the weekend, man, let us know what you got cooking. Thanks to our sponsor, Buckhead Butcher Shop. Go by there if you get a chance, man. They'll help you out. And it's not just about the meats. It's about the process.
And hey, again, we've been talking, guys, meats and fish, Carl. Swordfish tonight.
That's correct. Seafood, too. You're right. We've been talking about a lot of stuff today, man. A lot of stuff. Busy show. Braves, obviously, back in action. They start a series against the Red Sox. We currently sit in the two seed, guys. And thanks to Joe Patrick for stopping by today. Seth Emerson talking dogs with us. He says he thinks DeJuan Mathis will be the starter tomorrow. That has not been officially announced by Kirby or the dogs yet. You heard from Hayden Hurst, our tight end. You heard from Steve Coonan. And right now, you get a chance to hear from one of our favorite guys, Harry Douglas, joining us on the WaitFor.com hotline. What's going on, Harry?
Nothing much. How you guys doing?
Well, you're looking at it, bro. We're living the dream, man. You know Julio is as good as anybody. You think Julio's going to play or be a decoy? Or how's this going to fly on Sunday?
Well, when you look at his career, he's fought through a lot of injuries. And I can honestly say, back when I was playing with Julio, it was a lot of times where I was like, dang, I don't know if we're going to be able to go. But he sacrificed and was like, listen, I'm going to go out there anyway, even though I'm hurting. Just so I can get you one-on-one coverage or get Tony some one-on-one or get Rod some one-on-one. And it's a testament to, though, let you know how tough he is and unselfish he is as a player. And you got to love that whenever you're a superstar player, and I actually think he is the best player on the team. I don't care what anybody says. When your best player on your team has that mindset, I think it's amazing, and it's a great example for the other players on the team also.
Harry, what's going on offensively with us? What are you seeing with Dirt Cutter's offense that you can describe to our listeners? You know, week one, week two, yay, we're making plays. He opened things up a little bit, even with the, you know, we call it the wild gauge. What were your impressions after 2 weeks of what Dirk is trying to do?
Well, I think the only thing that's, I say two things I feel like is hindering them right now. If it's anything that is hindering, it's these two things. Number one, I'm not so sure if Todd Gurley is 100% healthy because he doesn't look explosive. He doesn't look like the MVP season Todd Gurley to me right now. He's not making guys miss like I'm used to seeing him doing, and I've been on the other side of that on the other team when I've actually seen him do these kind of things. So, number one, is Todd Gurley healthy? Number one, I don't think he is, but when will he be able to get to that point? Because I want to see him integrated in the pass game a lot more because he is that dual threat back. Number two, I think it's just more so of guys just making the plays when they present themselves, whether it's on third downs, whether it's catches or getting the right block and blocking the right man, just little things here and there that are stopping this offense who is already good from being great.
Brother, I could not agree with you more. As Harry Douglas joins us, guys, longtime Falcon from Louisville here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Carl and I were talking about this all week. You know, get him in space. Get him out of the backfield. You know, create. Because in between the tackles, it just – and by the way, like 21 – it's not like Warrick Dunn back in the day, Harry, where if you give him like, you know, feed him, he's going to break one. You can't do that with him because of his knee these days.
Well, I 100% agree. So you have to pick your spots. But I do feel like you have to make the defense honor his pass game abilities also and his pass catching abilities, his route running, and things of that nature. It would just add another dynamic to your offense and give defensive coordinators fits to have to stay up all night trying to decide how they're going to cover it and how they're going to play it also.
Harry Douglas joining us, guys, here on Dukes and Bell, breaking down Falcons Bears. You'll listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Sunday. And I know you've been a part of some heartbreaking losses, but even though it was the regular season last week, man, as a player, how do you recover from that? I asked Coach Quinn that question. He, you know, kept it positive. But you guys are human. How do you recover from an L like that?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Some of y'all, if y'all listen to the post-game show, I was stunned by the loss myself, and I'm not even playing anymore. But for the guys in that locker room, the one thing I love about sports is that, okay, in basketball it's easier because you may have a game the next night or the 2 nights after that. Football, you have to wait 7 days, but you do have another game the following week. You can't feel sorry for yourself because, listen, this game does not care about your feelings. That's one thing I learned playing football. The game of football does not care about your feelings whatsoever. And you just got to focus on being 1-0. And one of the things I thought that really, really helped this ball club, and this organization is on Monday night, the following night, seeing New Orleans lose to the Raiders.
Right.
That alone would have lifted my spirits a lot more because it's like, okay, yes, the Saints do not have a two-game lead in the division. We do have two teams that have one loss. Us and the Panthers have two losses, and the gap isn't closing on us so fast at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, man. We talked about it. Drew Brees just doesn't look the same. I know it's been commented on, but it really was very acute against the Raiders on Monday night. Hey, when you were coming up, man, your rookie year, were you on the hands team for the Falcons?
Actually, I was. You know what's funny? I talked to ESPN Chicago today, and they talked about a play where they pooch kicked it when we played them my rookie year, and it actually was in my hands, and I got tackled, and then Matt had that throw to Michael Jenkins on the sideline, and we kicked the field goal with a couple seconds left to win it.
Right.
But I definitely
at the Georgia Dome, that's
team.
Right.
Yeah, yep. I'm definitely on hands team. One thing I can tell you about the game I seen the other day in that play, in that whole debacle, was that I've never seen so many young guys on hands teams, and I've never seen guys who's not trying to knock somebody else's head off. That is, I'm going to tell you how to play. Me and Weems laugh about this all the time. We was on hands team, and Weems was on the front line. And the guy was over there telling me, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to knock you out. And I went to Weems, I said, Weems, get him from me, don't let him hit me. Weems say, say no more. Man, Weems would have knocked him out. I recovered the ball, Weems would have knocked him out, standing over him, talking mess to him. I said, that's my boy, that's my brother from another mother right there. But when you look at the play, you can see nobody tried to go make contact with right. with the kickoff team, with the onside kick team. And I'm not used to seeing that. Usually you have guys on that team who are trying to aggressively go knock somebody out from the opposing team so they don't recover the football.
Yeah, engage. Engage them. Yeah,
well, kick it out of bounds. Do something.
By the way,
I said knock them out. I mean what I said.
By the way, Harry, as he mentioned, Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas, they are on the pregame. It's 11 a.m. to 1. Wes and Dave will have all the action. Thomas Mott with the Falcon flyover, your first chance to weigh in on the Falcons game till 7. So a lot going on Sunday, and then obviously we've got the Wade Ford tailgate show with Hugh Douglas and Willie P getting you ready at 9 a.m. All right, let's talk about these Bears. What are you seeing? What are you seeing on film that concerns you? This is me, okay? I don't think they're playing that well. I don't think they're that good, to be honest with you. Now, they're 2-0, so it's hard for people to say that, but I'm not impressed with what I've seen. What about you?
I agree with you 100%, Carl. And I was telling one of the guys up there in Chicago, he was like, Mitchell Trubisky is playing better this year, and I'm like, what film are you watching? Because the film I'm watching, he's not. And basically, they should have lost to the Detroit Lions. I thought the Lions actually lost the game themselves versus right. Chicago winning that game. But when it comes to the Bears offense, they're going to give you a lot of eye candy. They're going to use shifts and motions and try to distract the defense from the task at hand so they can get these plays and be successful. You've got to read your keys. Do not take the bait. When it comes to Mr. Trubisky, he is a runner. He's a threat in the run game. But also, you have Montgomery, you have Patterson, and you have Cohen. If you stop their run game, because what they want to do is their pass game is off of play action. Mostly it's off of play action. If you stop that run game, you'll negate their pass game. And if you keep Mitchell Trubisky inside the pocket, your chances are better. Because all his missed throws that I've seen, and trust me, it's probably too many just to be in game two, I posted that on my Twitter also, have come within the pocket. When he leaves the pocket and he's thrown on the run and he feels more comfortable, that's when he's at his best. So try to keep him in the pocket as much as possible and make things tough for him, because I just don't think he looks comfortable in the pocket. I still don't think he looks comfortable within the offense, and they just have to make it hard for him on Sunday.
Harry Douglas is with us, guys, longtime Atlanta Falcon, as we said, pregame host, along with our buddy Chris Goforth here on 99 The Game. Harry, we're really banged up. It sounds like Fowler is going to be game time at best, if not going to play. We lost Tack with a groin injury for a while. Marlon Davidson is going to go in, but he's been banged up the first couple weeks. I mean, will they be able to run the ball on us?
Ooh, that's the thing. But that's the thing coming in right now, starting the season, the Bears are ranked, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're ninth in rushing offense in the NFL. So you have to stop the run. Everything they want to do on offense is predicated off the run game. So you have to build around stopping it. Now, a lot of people are like, okay, why do we get so beat so much on the back end? Listen, if you're trying to stop the run, that means you have to put more guys in the box. So that equates to guys just need to be better in man-to-man coverage. Listen, you can't sit back in zone coverage and have guys just picking you apart all day long. You have to play man coverage. Isaiah Oliver, Denard, those two guys have to be better in man coverage. And that's one of the reasons why the defense is having a lapse right now, because right, those two guys are getting beat so bad in man coverage, but they have to tighten it up, and especially in this game. A game like this, I want to play man coverage so I can get enough guys in that box to stop that run game, because if you stop that run game, I don't think Chicago has a chance at all.
Guys, we talk Falcon football each and every Friday, and it is brought to you by friends at ESOG. Harry is brought to you today by ESOG, Mike.
Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Not that Harry would have problems with his basement, but if you got cracks in the wall or flooding, you dial 678-ESOG now.
All right, Russell Gage, slot. How's he look to you?
I love him. I love him a lot. I love Russ's quickness. I love his understanding. I know he said he wants to get better at understanding the game a lot more, but I thought he's done a decent job so far. Last year when the Falcons traded Mohamed Sanu, him and Matt Ryan built this chemistry. They built that trust. It's carried over to this year, and I think it's amazing to have three options in the pass game, especially three receivers, that you can go to on first, second, or third down, or in crunch time, and have that faith and have that confidence to do so.
Well, Harry, yeah, it's always good to talk with you. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, same thing, brother. We always love catching with you, bro. And I think I'm with you. I love the idea of what you said talking about Todd Gurley, because we knew it was going to be a unique situation with him, but I just don't think we're maximizing his talents right now.
Yeah, I feel the same. But see, it can be something else to it, though, that they might not be telling us. Mm. So, I mean, they're in-house, and it's their deal, what they have to deal with. But from what I see right now, I have to see him integrated in the offense a little bit more.
Well, let's hope that's the case, man. We'll be listening on Sunday, Harry, and you know, getting all the takes leading up to the game, and obviously, you know, what's gonna take place afterwards. So appreciate you jumping on and stopping by, man. Hope you're doing well. Hope the family's good, and we're enjoying listening to you on Sundays.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you, Harry. All right, man. Harry Douglas. Mike Bell. We're going to talk about the most important story of the day. It remains the Falcons. Guys, 0-3. Just think about that for a second. We're going to let you hear what Dan Quinn told Mike and I this week about what cannot happen. You'll hear it next as part of the most important story of the day.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Dukes and Bell on a Friday. Appreciate all the photos you guys are sharing. We understand, by the way, that not everybody does their grilling on Friday. Some folks will maybe pair it, as Squidbilly is, with the Georgia game as they take on Arkansas, speaking of hogs. So, again, throughout the weekend, share it with us at Mike Conti 929, Squidbilly 929, Mike Bale, ATL, Carl is at Put 'em Up, C Dukes, all part of our hashtag Dukes and Bell Tailgate at Home 2020, brought to you by Buckhead Butcher Shop. I'm going to be doing some swordfish tonight, which is actually pretty easy. It's already prepared, already seasoned by those guys, as we said. It's a really great spot. And if you're looking for help either grilling, I know Squidbilly is the master of the Traeger. I'm condo cooking for now until we get out to the country, but it is a great spot, man. So get on it and have some fun and share those photos with us and show us your gourmet skills.
Hey, man, go sign up as well at radio.com/picks. for your chance to win $1,000. It's up for grabs each week. Up to $10,000 at the end of the season. It is the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em, guys. I'm doing it. So many guys are doing it. Ladies as well. Everybody's welcome. No point spreads, no lineups. Just go pick the games. Radio.com/picks and see what you got. All right? Get involved before Sunday gets here and get your picks in. All right, Mike. Let's talk about and real quick, I do want to mention this because if you're just joining us, Georgia State at Charlotte game, which was at noon tomorrow, canceled, right, Mike? Right. That game has been canceled.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, we've talked a lot about how, you know, and some folks said from the jump, it can never work with college football. And we've seen a lot of conferences, the smaller conferences, not the Power Five, but you've seen a bunch of schools have to deal with this. And I think, you know, the Notre Dame-USF game, unfortunately, Carl, is kind of like the case study because it, you know, it has residual effects. It goes down the line, whereas Notre Dame can't play Wake now, and then USF can't play FAU because there was obviously some players at Notre Dame who had COVID, and then somehow it was transferred. And this is why the NFL has been sticklers about COVID, even though we think it's silly. You realize why the coaches wear the mask, but the colleges don't have the level of testing that the NFL does. But it is still a scene. So in this case, they believe it's at Georgia State from what the reports are we've read. So that game has to be canceled. The good news is the SEC has a little more wiggle room. I mean, a little bit. ACC had more because they started soon. The Pac-12, with their decision, Carl, to go with a 7-game starting in November. Okay, well, now you're not part of the national championship unless you think the other conferences, and that's the other thing. You think their doctors are saying those other conferences are living in a fool's paradise, and they're going to have to be scheduling games through January.
Well, they're only playing 7 games, and then I think their season ends the same weekend as the other conference championship games. I want to say like December 19th or 20th, somewhere around there. So
a 7-0 Oregon gets to go play a team, yes, that played a full conference schedule in the SEC. Get the out of here with that.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to say. And listen, it's all about what the College Football Committee is going to say to us. Once we get to that point next month, at the end of the month, when we start hearing about where they're at, we'll get our guys on from the committee and see how they're thinking about this, because this is an unusual year. And I just... even if Oregon is undefeated, and they might be the favorite, you know, you got to replace Justin Herbert and a bunch of guys. I don't think that is going to be as attractive as what the Big Ten is trying to do. The champion from the Big 12, or right, for that matter, a one loss. Let's just say a one loss Georgia. What if Georgia beats Alabama, loses to Florida, plays in the SEC championship game? I'm just throwing it out there, just hypotheticals. But you have a one loss Georgia, potentially, and an undefeated Alabama or LSU, I don't care, okay? Those two teams you're going to tell me are not deserve a one-loss Georgia team or a one-loss over a 7-0 Oregon team?
Right. See, over a Georgia team that had beaten a Tennessee, Auburn, and Alabama? Yes. No, right, freaking way. That's why we get into, I mean, and I know that some guys, there's a lot of transplants here, but if you're not watching football, if you think everything is a Madden game, and I get it, even the SEC, like LSU last year and Alabama, plays in high-scoring games now, but the SEC plays more fundamentally sound defense, puts more big-time defensive studs in the NFL. Them and the ACC are neck and neck. But that's why they deserve the credit. Nobody, there's not anyone in it. Show me any part of a schedule in the Big 12 or Big 10, or obviously in the ACC until Miami continues to reassert itself, Carl, for Clemson. Nobody's playing Tennessee, Auburn, and Alabama and Kentucky. Come on, that's nobody's doing that.
All right, guys. One of the things that we've been focused on is how do we get a win? And I'm talking about the Falcons. Mike and I had a chance to catch up with Dan Quinn. This is about 3 minutes of Coach Quinn that I want you to hear that he says can't happen this upcoming week against the Bears. Here's what he had to say. So I want to ask you, the mental lapses that we've seen here in the first couple of weeks, you know, what do you say to your players, and how do you explain the mental lapses that cause us not to be in position to win?
Well, I think, Carl, number one, we said, no more tail of two halves. And so let's make sure this thing, we're ready to take it as long as it has to go. And the things I was pleased about, you know, seeing the turnover margin improve, seeing us have, you know, the protection and stay committed to the run game. So those things I liked, but this thing has got to go the whole time, man. So, no more tail of two halves. It has to be the whole thing. So, as you're an angry team and you want to make sure you're, you know, setting the course for the whole entire game. And so that's what we, you know, our intent is and what we're looking to do this weekend for damn sure.
Coach, I just want to ask you this, because to me this was one of the most frustrating things, and I know we're trying to get this corrected, and I just want to know what you're saying to Raheem and the defense. But in the second half, we gave up 30 points, and they had four drives of over 70 yards. I know you're a defensive guy. What the hell are you saying to Raheem and these guys to correct those mistakes and certainly cut down on the amount of points we're giving up? 38 in week one, 40 in week two. What are you saying to them, Coach?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the standard that we want to set is really high. And so when you don't meet it and you don't hit the mark like you want to, you want to go back into the lab and make sure you're getting the corrections done, you're getting the things done that you want to get done. So we were pleased to see the ball come alive in the first half, you know, forcing some fumbles and creating some short field. And so that has to be, like I said, man, you can't have a tale of two halves, you know, where it's strong here, not here. And so we're working day and night to make sure we find the right tweaks, the right balance, so we can play like we're capable of. And no one has a higher standard than we do about how we want to play. And so we're going to work our asses off to make sure we get into that spot, because for everybody, it wasn't to the standard we want to play at. And we recognize that, and we're working hard to address that.
All right, Coach, let's talk about these damn Bears. They're 2-0. Trubisky, a lot of talk about him going into the offseason. And, you know, I know you're worried about your football team, but just from football circles, people were saying, is he going to be even the starter when we see him? Well, he is. So tell us what you think about the Bears offensively and what you're seeing on tape about this team.
Yeah, so far, you know, what you've seen from them over their first two games is a really balanced attack offensively. They've really committed in the run game. You see Montgomery and Cohen both having, you know, excellent games in the run game. They're, you know, averaging over 140 yards in those two games. So that you feel. They've added some tight ends and Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet, and they certainly can feature those guys in the right space. And then defensively, for them, it really starts up front. You know, they got two excellent edge rushers in Robert Quinn and Mack on the outside and Akeem Nicks inside, and a local guy who's got the kind of speed he and Debo, if you're looking for linebackers, you can run. Roquan and Deion are that kind of crew. So good group to match up with and feature in different ways, and that's the best part about the NFL, man. Each week has different matchups and how we go attack them, and that's what Mondays and Tuesdays, as we get into the week for the game plan, what it's all about. But we'll be ready to fight, I can promise you that.
That's Dan Quinn on with us earlier in the week, guys. Our exclusive interview with Dan starts Tuesday, right about 3:15, as he gets off watching film or doing the practice, whatever they're doing up there at Flowery Branch. You heard Dan obviously using some of those, you know, buzzwords that he uses from time to time. And look, we get it. Yeah, you know, attitude and, you know, some edge. We need it, but we need it, Carl, for four quarters. That's what's missing. And I think we saw some imagination in both offense and defense. I've said it a few times. The way they blitzed, the way we overloaded on the defensive line. Foye Aluakin, I mean, a guy that was creating turnovers. We're making things happen. The way that they went with Gage to Julio, and Julio couldn't catch the football. So there were some things that you got to say, hey, you wanted it, they gave it to you. But the players didn't execute it for four quarters.
They didn't, Mike. And I just want us to finish. You know, I don't want to feel uneasy when we're up. There's no reason why Falcon fans should feel uneasy when we're up 14, 21 points, 18 points, whatever it is. Mm. We shouldn't. But we do, because we haven't finished. So, real quick, I want to mention our Mindcast email and tweet of the day. Pete Thamel, Mike, says the Mac has approved the return of football. So the Mac is coming back. Again, all these conferences, and I get why they made the decisions they made, but good. I'm glad. More football, the better. Today's show is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business, guys. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mimecast.com. The Mac is now back, Mike.
Which is great to hear. You just wish that, again, all these conferences somehow would have communicated to each other. And if the Pac-12 had had this new advancement in testing, that they said, hey, guys, here's what we can do. We can all push it back, but here's a way we know we can keep the players safe. But there's no communication. And guys have asked us a million times the last few weeks on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text, like, well, where's the NCAA in this? They're like an afterthought, okay? You know, they did say that you get another year of eligibility if you opt out, but it's amazing how that whatever suggestions that they made, Carl, to try to get everybody, you know, together with a streamlined thought process on this went out the window.
Yeah. you know what? I mean, this should be the model, right? The learning process.
This should be what the NCAA is there for, okay? Stop with the nickel and dime speeding tickets because a coach texted an extra time or whatever. All the stupid stuff that they nickel and dime you over. This is one where the NCAA, if it was actually, you know, from what its charter said it was supposed to do, provide leadership on this. You know, you communicate with the federal government on what we're hearing, whether you think the CDC is full of crap or whatever. But they never did that. You know what I mean? It's just like everybody's left to do their own thing, and now we got a wacky, you know, four-fifths football team season.
All right, guys. Crazy. But, hey, more football, the better. I'm fine with it, you know. It is Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. It's Friday, man. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home 2020. Send us what you got cooking. We just got a bunch of pictures in via Twitter. It is, again, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes, Squidbilly 929, and Mike Conti 929. Let us know what you're cooking. Mike, what's tonight's game winner, brother?
Hey, man. Guy just hit me back as soon as I was going to do something else, but it was pretty funny. Oscar Isaac's Beard is the name of this guy's Twitter handle, Michael Laurent. He goes, Return of the Mac. I heard you say the Mac is back. So what's your favorite old school tune? A favorite old school. Now, again, that's old school if you're like in your 30s, if you're 50. But you and I both played that on the radio.
Return of the Mac. That song was hot, bro.
Your favorite old school jam. And whenever you hear it, it just makes you toe tap. And next thing you know, you got a smile on your face. 404-741-0929. Rock and roll, hip hop, genre, doesn't matter. Whatever you love. The old school tune, which always gets you going.
Is
time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now 404-741-0929. Today's question.
Yeah, baby, a little Return of the Mac. We got that from a listener today, Carl, hit us up, and we said the Mac was coming back, and he played Mark Morrison's Return of the Mac. So it got us, that's 24 years old, by the way, that song, Carl.
Man, and I got to say this. So I have an older brother who used to love this song so much.
Play it, Ken, if you got it, man. Cue it up, play that.
That whenever it came on, he would always have to reminisce and tell you about all the women that he picked up when this song was on, because he was a young dude in the clubs at that point. And so he would always be like, Carl, let me tell you about the Carl. Let me tell you about this. And he'd go through Janice and, you know, Janae. And I mean, I'm not lying to you guys. His name is Harold. That's my older brother. But I rarely talk about him because he's a trip. But I will say this. This song, allegedly, Mike, to him, got him hooked up numerous times. So,
bro, this was the jam. The summer of 96, we used to play volleyball on the beach. I was working at a station in Fort Myers, Florida. And this was like DJ Art Rooney on the ones and twos. And I would host from Club 41. And we would play. This is always a good. This got the crowd rocking and rolling, man. But 96, this came out.
That beat would come up.
It's boom, great.
Da, boom, da, boom, boom, boom.
And you'd be like, Morrison. Right. So there you go, man. Return of the Mac gets us back to one hit. Well, not so much one hit wonders, but old school jams. Takes you back. Because it's amazing. That's like for younger guys, that song's an old school jam. That's 24 years old right now.
Yeah. There's only one for me, Mike. There's only one. You know what it is?
What is it, baby?
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Want to pull up tough? Oh, man.
Now, for me, it's anything from New Order, but specifically Blue Monday. That was always like, doo, 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 doo. Back in the old days, and when I worked, there was a club I worked at in Long Island, Carl, called Spit. So obviously it was a new wave punk place. She Sells Sanctuary by The Cult and Blue Monday by New Order. That's the white guy club banger, okay, from back in that early 80s era, man. That stuff was rocking.
That Baby Got Back would get everybody would jump on the dance floor. And the thing was, it was so crossover that it didn't matter.
Everybody loved it.
You had black folks, white folks, everybody. Oh, my God! And everybody was out there jamming. It was crazy.
Well, at our wedding in Jamaica, the DJ played it because my wife is Becky. Like, oh, Becky, look at her butt. So that was it was just perfect. All right, let's see what we got. Hey, man, old school jam. What do you got for us, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So back when I was like in middle school, I want to say, I lived in Albany with my grandma, but my mom did. So every weekend, you got up there and landed with my father. That's where he was sitting down. I remember my mom put in the album, Daryl Hall and John Oates. Now you can love the song called Private Eyes.
Yes. Private eyes are watching you.
Private eyes are watching you.
They see your every move. It's a very unusual way to start that, but we'll roll with it. Hey, man, old school jams. What do you got for us tonight on the game winner?
Hey, man.
Hey, Jeremiah.
Y'all help me remember. I'm old, but you remember you'll never find another love
like mine. Lou Rawls.
Oh, yeah.
You'll never find a love like... Yeah, Lou Rawls, man. Lou Rawls was part of the old Budweiser Super Show back in the day when you'd see, like, Maze with Frankie Beverly and all the other bands. But Lou was around forever, man, because that was his jam. And he had the pipes, too.
You'll never find
a love like mine.
Lou was the man.
Yeah. Find that one while we're talking here. We're giving Ken a lot of work here in the final 10 minutes. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Old school jams. What do you got for us?
Hey, man. I got two for you. One is Nate Dogg, Regulators, Mount Up.
That's another great jam.
Come on, man.
That's awesome.
And
that's
I got another one for you, too. This is Mamba number 5.
That's a good one.
The one-hit wonder.
That's a good it was. That's a good one, though.
Yeah, man. Dude, they had like the little mustache and a hat. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Old school jams. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
What's going on?
Sure to go, guys.
Thanks, man.
Hey, look, this guy's got a ton of them, but the famous line is, every time I comb my hair, thoughts of you get in my eyes. Hey, Carl. Hey, Montel. You talk about your brother in the Mac. Let Prince's Erotic City come on.
Done.
I'm going home with something.
Erotic City, can't you see?
Oh, that he's so right about that. When you heard that.
By the way, we didn't even mention. Did I see they just found 63 new Prince tracks?
Yeah, he recorded a bunch of music that he felt, Mike, seriously, wasn't worthy enough. There's a ton of music out there that he would record and then be like, nah, I don't like it. And like, so yeah, there's don't be surprised if you start seeing stuff come out.
That's the kind of stuff, Becky's on the balcony, but this is the kind of stuff like you got a girl with it. It's like every time I comb my hair.
Oh, Erotic City was it, boy. Come on.
You're a sinner. I don't care.
I just want your creamy thighs.
Yeah. And then you know what? It had that breakdown.
Yes. Oh, man. Outstanding.
He's going to make me go listen to that damn song tonight. Man, see what you've done?
No other 5'1" man got more hot chicks than Prince, man. He was like working on Cheetah Easton, I believe, at that time. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy boy. What do you got for us?
Hey, man. Will Smith, Summertime, and Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do.
Yes. This is how we do.
Carl, that deep pop. Designated drivers, take the keys to my truck.
Mike. Boom, 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 boom. And it had trying to think of the beat. Slick Rick. It's Slick Rick's beat.
I'm adding this right now on my iTunes. So like as soon as the show is over, I'm gonna light a Perdomo, I'm gonna have a brew, and I'm gonna be like jamming to this out on the balcony here in about 13 minutes. Hey, man.
That was the jam right there.
Oh, that's a great call. You're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. Sir.
Now, here's a little story I like to tell about
three bad. You know so well.
What's up?
What up, fool? It started way back in history with that I and me, Mike D.
Come on, man. Good job, man. Outstanding. And by the way, 85, so I know that's different for your different parts of the country you grew up, but if you grew up in New York, you'd throw some money together if you could do it. And they would do like a ski trip. You were a junior or a senior in high school. And the Beastie Boys, Carl, was literally like the soundtrack. I mean, the boombox. I remember the song. It was Rock Me Amadeus by Falco was big that year. Rock Me Amadeus and the Beasties, man. Fight for the right to party. Hey,
if
man.
If you like the Beastie Boys, if you have Apple...
This in the dock.
Yes, if you have, I think it's Apple TV. Right. They did a documentary, and it's basically them just telling the story with pictures, and it is amazing, man. It really is. It's pretty cool.
And by the way, as much as I love Licensed Ill, Paul's Boutique is one of the greatest records I mean, you got to get on that, guys, for you youngsters out there, you millennials. Just load up Paul's Boutique on your iTunes.
They were a rock group, by the way, before they started rapping. This was all, they were like trying to do the rock thing, and then, you know, they met a guy named...
Rick Rubin.
Yeah, you know the story. I mean,
right. It's great, man. The doc is fantastic, by the way. Carl ain't lying. All right, man, it's old school. We're having some fun tonight. Old school jams. What do you got for us, buddy?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, take me back to junior high. Everybody in our music class was trying to learn how to play that Love Roller Coaster riff by the Ohio Players.
And then the Red Hot Chili Peppers do a nice cover of it. But yeah, Ohio Players. By the way, the album cover for that album, I think it was Amazing. The album's called Honey.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, look it up. There's a girl like dripping honey all over her, and she's like topless. When you were a young kid, it was very impressionable. All right, you got the final word, bro. Tonight's game winner is Old School. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So I'm in my 30s, so I can't go as far back as some of these other guys. But I tell you, when Casey and JoJo came on and the roller rink, I was slaying.
Which one? Come talk to me.
All my life.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. I'm hear you. At that point, I'm DJing in clubs, and I got to tell you, like, you put on KC and JoJo, it was done. Like, you'd have guys come up and say, "Will you play some Jodeci?" Yeah, man, sure. I'm trying to close the deal, man.
That's why you've got to go to the place I get my car washed, the auto spa and bistro. And there's a lady. They always play Jodeci. They play old school R&B and stuff on the weekends. And there's a lady who sits there at the bar, and she'll be singing all this. By the way, Joyce Sims, All in All, is what I was looking for. Carl, that was my jam back in the day. You're my all and for you. Are we done, by the way? We got to go, Ken?
We don't have to. I mean, I guess.
All right, well, that doesn't matter. We'll do one more. You get the final word, buddy. Old school jams tonight. What do you got for us?
One more. Kid, anybody there? Hey, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, man.
What's going on?
Hey, man. This is Puff from Gainesville. How about some of the old school Commodores?
Breakout, man. Oh, she's a brick house. Boom. She's mighty.
She's letting it all hang out. Oh, outstanding. Man. Good job, by the way. Strong stuff tonight, man. Yeah, I've been loading all these tunes, guys, just to Jackson. I got all on the iTunes right now.
I know y'all having fun with us. Come on, man. Turn it up. Boom, 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 boom.
Best.
All right, man. Big shout out to all of my guests today. Joe Patrick, Braves Insider, for stopping in. Seth Emerson talking about the Dogs. He says it'll be DeJuan Mathis. Hayden Hurst, we talked to Harry Douglas, we talked to Steve Coonan, Big Friday Show. Hey, man, go Dogs. Mm-hmm. Let's get a W, Falcons, and we're going to talk to you guys on Monday starting at 2 o'clock. We'll have the coaches show, player segment, and all of that. We need a W, Mike Bell. Bad. Hey, man, Ken, great job. Thank you for jumping in for our man Craig. We wish Craig the best. He lost his grandmother this week, so he's been out in California, and he'll be back next week as well. Bo Morgan, great job this week as well as executive producer. Mike Bell, let's get out of here. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, couple of things. We talked a lot today about the Braves. It'll be unprecedented if they can make this thing work. I thought Ian Anderson did a great job. I know if you didn't watch the game, you just saw the box score. You saw three unearned runs. I like his attitude because even when things are getting tough, he pitched out of a bunch of jams, almost got out of the last jam, but unfortunately, eventually, after working it to two outs, Carl, they got the bat on the ball, knocked in the runs. But I like where his head is at. I think I like where Bryce Wilson's at. It would be unprecedented. It would be like 1991 times, I don't even know what you call it, because at least those guys, Smoltz and Glavine and Avery, had pitched before this. You know, obviously you got guys that have some experience, but Soroka's not here, and Fried, unfortunately, we're hoping, fingers crossed, Carl, he can stay healthy. I'm not sure they can do it, but I do believe these youngsters have the confidence to get it done.
Guys, college football is here. For many of you, it had started, but it hadn't started. Well, tomorrow the SEC starts, and that means it is back for many of you. Georgia has all it needs to win a national championship. I don't care about how this year has gone. I know 2020 has sucked, but these kids are going to play the games, and at the end of the day, a champion will be crowned. Georgia, here's an opportunity for you to win a championship. They've got everything they need. Can they put it together? We will see. Have a great weekend. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
then you don't get any clams on the half shell and roller skates. Roller skates.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.